Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It dawned on me last night when we sang the hymn we just did, Built on the Rock, of a story of a church in urban Chicago. I had a friend that attended there. Her husband was the organist. And it was a really old church building, beautiful church building, but not very many people attended this church anymore. The suburbs came and people moved out. It's just a beautiful church. And they had a storm, and literally the steeple was rocked off the top of the building and fell. And that didn't stop them one bit. They worshiped the next morning, and they sang that song, Built on the Rock, even as steeples are falling. The church persevered in that place, and the word still echoed. Eventually, some of the other churches in the Chicagoland area went together to help them fix their steeple and their roof, and the church is doing pretty well these days from what I understand. But every time I sing that song, I can't help but think of that beautiful little church in urban Chicago. Well, today's message is from the Galatians text, and especially verses 14 through 18. I'll read them again for you now. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Well, this is it, folks. This is the end of the book of Galatians. Thank you guys, our Redeemer Lutheran Church, for having a good website, because I could go online to see what Pastor Eden had been preaching the past 5 weeks, and he has been guiding you guys through the book of Galatians, as has been the epistle reading assigned every week. So I figure I better keep step and finish what he started by guiding our reading through the end of this wonderful book of Galatians. It's not too hard for me, because I love this little book. I had the opportunity in my fieldwork congregation to teach a weekly Bible study going through the entire book of Galatians. So it happens to be a good text for me to come at this morning. So the story of Galatians is really critical to the story of the church at large. It is a book that many think is the first book written of the Bible, that Paul wrote this letter not long after his first missionary journey through the cities of Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And Paul's journey through these cities is recorded for us in the book of Acts. So it's not hard for us to piece the story together a little better than it is with some of the other Paul letters. And Paul went to these cities, these Galatian cities, the Roman province of Galatia, and proclaimed the gospel, and it took, and these churches were formed. But not long after Paul spent his time there, false teachers, possibly even from Jerusalem, came up and presented them with another gospel, one that distracts from the grace of Christ and puts a focus on the works of the Mosaic Law. To be specific, these false teachers thought that in order to be a Christian, you had to first be a Jew. You had to adopt the Jewish way of life. You had to take on circumcision and the Mosaic practices and rituals. That way you can make a sign to God that you are faithful to Him. Now, the Galatians ate this up. And when you really think about it, it's not hard to understand why. Think about in American culture, all the self-help books. All you need to do is this, this, and this, and then you'll be living the Christian life. Or any type of step of instructions that seems easy to grasp, that you can hop on and say, okay, I can do it, because it's just laid out right in front of me. So the Galatians, the people in these cities, were eager to give this a shot. There's another aspect of it, though, that probably went into it. See, these Galatians, they were Gentiles. They were not born into Jewish families and raised with these laws, although some of them might, but the most of them probably weren't. And it could be seen that something like circumcision, I won't go through the detail of defining circumcision. I'm sure most of you know what that is. If not, you can tell your children later if you want. You don't have to. But something like circumcision is, for an adult Gentile, a physical sign that they can do to show God that they want to be committed to them. It is a sacrifice to go through that act in order to feel like you belong or to merit some sort of belonging in this Christian church. So going through that suffering of going through that physical sign was something that they thought, man, I'll surely be on God's side because of the suffering that I put myself through. Kind of like Martin Luther lashing himself for his sins because he thought that was the only way that he could cover for all the sins he continually made. So, in a way, people like you and I, and as well as the people in Galatia, they want to suffer. They want to show physical discomfort and then wear it as a badge to show that they are entitled to their standing or they merit their place of belonging. It may sound weird, but people in this sense like to suffer. We thank our soldiers for what they've done for our country this weekend, but some soldiers will definitely show you their wounds and wear them as a badge of honor. And in moderation, that's okay, as long as that's not their only focus. But for some people, wearing those badges of the suffering, that becomes their identity. And it happens to us in more ways than you can imagine. I'll take a pretty simple example from my own life that I've done repeatedly. So, I've spent 4 years in Chicago. And I tell you, when people say that they've gone through winter, I scoff. They don't know what winter is. One winter, we had wind chills of negative 20 and 30. We had snow every day. When the snow came in November, it did not go away until March. It was there the entire time. In not small quantities. I had to dig out my poor little Ford Ranger out of the snow every morning. I had to use kitty litter to line the tires so I could just get it going. You see what I'm doing? I'm trying to put myself over you because my experience of winter has more significance than yours. I've suffered more. I'm entitled to knowing what winter feels like more than you. Not a good thing to do that. Holding your suffering over people just to prop up your own ego is not a good thing. It's boasting in yourself. It's boasting in your flesh. I have one more example, and this is a pretty personal one, but I asked her permission before putting this into my sermon, and she actually suggested I put it in my sermon. Natalie wanted a natural birth, a full-blown, like in the Garden of Eden for Eve, natural birth. No pain meds, no interventions. She wanted to feel every ounce of that pain, and she wanted the experience to be pure in that sense. It may sound odd when we have modern technologies as pain medications, epidurals, and surgical interventions if we need them, but this is what Natalie wanted. And to tell you the truth, this is an odd thing for Natalie. In my generation specifically, there's this desire for things to be more natural. We want to kind of shirk away from all these artificial things in our lives, and we want to go back to kind of an organic or more natural way of living. And so I supported Natalie in this desire. The thing is, God did not support Natalie in this desire. She was overdue, way overdue, She had been suffering through gestational diabetes, which is kind of like a temporary form of diabetes for the pregnancy. So the doctor, after a certain amount of days after our due date, was like, we gotta get this baby out. So we had to get induced to start this process. And even though we were being induced through artificial means, Natalie was still, no pain meds, we're doing this. Well, we go in there and it's painful, to say the least. And she gets so tense, and the baby isn't lined up correctly. The baby had not fallen into place. So after a day long of horrible labor and going to pain medicines to just try to get her relaxed so the baby would come down right, the baby wasn't moving, and the doctor said, we gotta do a C-section. So at 11 p.m. that night, we came in at 7 a.m. that morning, we decided to do it. And thank the Lord and sing his praise, we have a healthy baby and a healthy mommy, and she's beautiful, and she looks exactly like her mother, which is a blessing to everyone who sees her. But the point is that Natalie was not given that gift of having that badge of suffering through the natural birth the way she wanted it. And she wanted me to tell you this because it humbled her. It was God saying that she was focused not on the baby, but on herself. I'm boasting in her own flesh. And this took away from what her focus should be. And that was where it got redirected because of God. Our focus became on the blessing that God gave us in the form of our little baby, Leah Jean Jordan. Healthy and happy and sleeping pretty good throughout the night so far. Fingers crossed that stays consistent. So this is what was going on in Galatia. They wanted that sign, that badge of honor, that circumcision, that Mosaic law. They wanted to suffer through it because they could boast in themselves rather than boasting in Christ. Circumcision was tangible. It was easy to do, but it was a suffering statement that showed their reliance on God. But see, In Paul's closing here, of the book of Galatians, he has gone through his journey. He has displayed what the true doctrine of the gospel is. He in a little summary paragraph, he states clearly what boasting should be about. I'll read again verse 14. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world have been crucified, to me and I to the world. Boasting is not supposed to happen in our own flesh. Like, literally, the Galatians were boasting in their flesh. But boasting is to be in the Spirit. The boasting of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus took all of our sins, even our misplaced boasts on the cross with him, and because of his work, forgives us for all those sins. And he gives us a reason to boast. That's different and more spectacular than any reason we could ever invent ourselves. See, the only suffering that matters truly is the suffering of Christ on the cross. That is the suffering that matters. That is the suffering that is worthy of boast. What we experience, what we endure, pales in comparison to what Christ has indeed suffered for us, for our sins, and for our salvation. The only wounds that have eternal significance are the ones Christ bore on Calvary. There will be times in this life where we are called to suffer for our faith. But whenever we endure that pain that occurs in this world, be it through harsh winters or through any physical suffering we have, through perhaps the scourge of cancer, through whatever life circumstances that happen, God will give us the strength to suffer through these things. But when that happens, we should never be emboldened to believe that suffering entitles us, that suffering merits anything in God's eyes. The only suffering that merits anything is Christ on the cross. Christ suffered truly to end all suffering. And when we face cold winters, Our eyes should not be focused on ourselves, but on the cross of Christ. The boast that matters most is the boast in Christ. So I challenge you, be careful not to boast in your own suffering. So it's easy to do. Even in casual conversation, you'll often hear people swapping stories of how tough they have it. Spend that time wiser. Boast in Christ. Speak of what he has done for you. Wear his wounds, as they are the ones that justify you and me in the eyes of eternity. May the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. I say to you, amen.